Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Points. Come on. Come on, boys. That's it. Watch the fiber. Soften it up. Sports.
This is Sports Sunday.
Jokic has it. Clock ticks. Gonna put one up. Jokic for the win. It's good. Jokic got it off in time.
With Rashawn Taylor and Joe Fisher.
First and goal. Mahomes flings it.
It's there. Hardman. Jackpot. Kansas City.
On the Odyssey app.
Hate me or love me. You watched. That's all you could do.
And 1080.
Who do you think you are?
The Fan.
Hey. Hey. That's how the... This is Young Metro, yeah?
It's Metro Boomin' and Future, I know that.
There we go. What's poppin', y'all? What's happened? Good morning, everybody.
Making me a little younger with the opening this morning. I like it. Making me feel good.
That's what we do here, you know? So, good to see you, bud.
What up?
You look good in that number one chair over there.
Happy Sunday.
I'll be honest, man.
Oh, I appreciate you, man. Yeah, that's man. Way too nice of you to say.
You look good over there, bro. So
feeling comfy.
Oh, well, you should be, man. Well, if you haven't noticed by now, this smooth baritone is not Joe Fish. Joe Fisher is... Where the hell did Joe go?
He is going... It is a coastal fishing trip, right? With Joe Fish...
Joe...
The second, because he's Joe Fish 3.
Yeah, Joe Fish 3 has the most incredible white guy weekends ever. He doesn't just... Seriously, he's not just, oh, I'm just going to go crabbing or something like that, or I'm just going to go take the lady and go to the beach. Like, no, I was like, oh... Yeah, I might be going to play Augusta this weekend, you know, or I think he's going on a fishing trip in the middle of the ocean, right? They said they're going like 20 miles out, eight miles out.
Him and primetime producer Ryan Buckley seem to have like the greatest white privilege here on the station.
Man, I love it, man.
I think it was 20 miles out, by the way, what
That's
you're referring to for Joe.
Way too far to be into the ocean, 20 miles out to go fishing. But
I'd get so sick.
Oh, yeah. My God, I can't do it, man. So we had to call in the closer, man. We called in the homie Will. What's going on, Big Willie?
Not much, man. Just enjoying a nice little Sunday of playoff action, NHL and NBA.
So for a minute, yes. When Jordan was like, oh, I'm going to get Will to come. I don't know why. I was thinking, you're going to get Will Darkins to come in? Like, not even thinking about it. Then walk in, I was like, oh this is going to be fun today, man. And I must say, Will, mm-hmm. Looking shredded, bro.
Trying to, man.
Looking shredded.
It helps that all my old clothes that I still wear are all like my fat guy clothes. So it looks like it's even more so.
Slim fit.
Although I'm starting to swim in my clothes, and I don't love that.
That's the bad part about working out or really starting to look good again is like, mm-hmm. you have to go buy
new clothes.
Stuff,
yeah.
New everything. Like that shirt that looked so good on you before.
Not anymore.
It's a little big now.
Right?
Yeah, a little big now. A little extra material.
The other one, too, is my Instagram. It's like every third slide on those, are those reels or shorts, whatever. It's a, look at how good this guy looks in this shirt. And it's tight on your arms, but it's loose on your belly. Mm-hmm. And it's like, he does look good in that shirt. What would I look like in that shirt? I've made too many Instagram purchases recently.
So do you have the review for those shirts? Because I've seen,
like,
as a fellow chubby guy, and I'm way chubbier than you, Will. I think you're just tall, so you fall into the big aspect of those ads, not the chubby like me. But hey, if they work, dude, I might buy a couple myself.
They're
good old
slimming.
Insta ads.
They are very slimming, and I'm a black t-shirt guy. You know, a lot of times. So if I'm going out and doing something, can kind of slide that on. It's like, oh man, I've really been in the gym for a little bit, haven't I?
Right. So, it fits perfect. I also the lightweight hoodie. big fan, yes. And they're probably about to go on sale because it's right at the end of lightweight hoodie season. Because you're getting into t-shirt season with the summer coming up.
Mm-hmm. Lightweight hoodies in themselves are A, very slimming, and B, very available in like all your team's favorite colors and cuts. Because every league now, Fanatics and Nike have kind of just streamlined the process. So even because like even the shirt that I'm wearing for Seattle Mariners, there's like NBA teams that with this same style shirt that you can go buy on Fanatics.com.
So yeah, rinse, repeat, and if people are going to keep buying it, then I'm sure you've got four of those.
Maybe two, not yeah, four. Okay. Yeah, like, oh, exactly. All right, Trust Tree, I got two.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I have no team-issued like apparel. I have three jerseys. I have a Pittsburgh Penguin jersey, I have a New York Rangers jersey, and I have a Central Washington hockey jersey. So all of my jerseys are hockey. Other than that, I've realized I don't have any... like Mariners gear, Mariner fan. Don't have any Seahawks gear. Don't have any Duck gear. I am a fan of all these teams, but I just realized like I don't buy it. Like on opening day, everyone's like, "Where's your Mariners hat? You're a Mariners fan." It's yeah. I don't have a Mariners hat.
Yeah, I feel you. Like at a point, I was a big hat guy. Like I had a whole bunch of hats, and the one team I kept buying was the New England Patriots. Like that's my squad. So bunch of Patriot hats.
We're going to get to them today, by the way. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
But a bunch of Pat's hat. But for the most part, other than that, I have some Blazers. I have a Blazers hoodie and like a zip up. But outside of that, I have two jerseys, but they're both fictional characters. I have a Bobby Boucher Bourbon Bowl
that
jersey.
Nice. That is hot.
And I have an Adam Banks Mighty Ducks.
What? You've worn that in.
Yeah.
Mighty Ducks jersey in.
I'm not a big, and we've talked about this before, I think last week, I'm not a big guys wearing a jersey, you know, kind of guy.
Is it like you're wearing another man's jersey that makes you less
weird.
Of a man?
Feels a little weird as you're older, you know, maybe as you're a little bit older. Like if you're a kid... Like we were talking about, Jordan said he got these jerseys when he was like 18. I was like, well, you're still a kid when you're
right 18,
with the 19. Name. Well, the personalized,
that
Schultzies.
That makes sense, especially if you're a grown up with a personalized jersey. Like, come on,
guys, I'm on the wrong show. I literally have a closet full not only of personalized and team player jerseys. Like, I've got a Carmelo Anthony 00 Blazers jersey in my closet. Mm. I've got the Dame PDX carpet. I've got a Schultze Blazers jersey. I mean, I'm wearing Mariners shorts on top of the Mariners hat and the Mariners shirt that I came in. I got a Mariners jacket sitting by the Kim Jong-un.
He saw the mannequin
pillow.
And was like, ooh.
Well, look, dude, you're a fan, man. Look, I'm not here to dump on anyone's fashion.
I'm almost disgusting myself right now.
No.
My God.
But, like, you shouldn't, like, own it. If that's your thing, that's your thing, man. Everyone has their own, like, different form
Mariners
of fashion.
Guy.
Yeah,
we know that now.
You're a big sports guy. There's nothing wrong with that. Like, I really want to wear the joggers. Like, I see joggers all the time. Sook's a big jogger guy. Like, he wears joggers all the time. I see him on my Instagram all the time. They look awesome. I can't bring myself to make the purchase.
Why?
I don't know if I'm ready to go into jogger territory. Like, I don't know if I'm cool enough to wear the jogger.
You absolutely are.
Yeah.
And the cool part about joggers is, depending on the ones you get, for those who don't know, you know, joggers are their pants, you know, but they're tapered at the bottom and everything.
And they're nice enough now to, like, you can wear them out in public and no one cares.
There you go. You can
no one's upset with you.
You can get a nice pair and even kind of dress them up for the evening and stuff like that if you really wanted to. So,
you know, athleisure wear really is a thing now. We had a guy that I was out dancing with last night, drank way too much. It was awesome, but I am admittedly feeling it this morning if we're in the Trust Tree. But he was wearing a velour jumpsuit. And wore the hell out of it all night. I think by the end, because he was so sweaty, took the jacket off. But dude rocked it, and I was pretty proud of him. And Will, he's probably your size, like 6'4", 6'5", like former football player status.
Too big to be wearing a damn velour jumpsuit, the whole thing. Maybe just the pants, maybe just the jacket.
Yeah.
But a whole jumpsuit, sweatsuit like that, especially velour, is like double denim.
Yeah, you know, not a jumpsuit guy either. Although, you know what? I might be, because I'm also getting these. Instagram is really just becoming a big shopping
Don't
place
say anything
for me.
Because as soon as you say something, it's like, oh, I was just talking about
it's,
that. There it goes.
It's too late. They're all over. Do you know what like Temu is or whatever?
Temu, yes.
Whatever it is, all the time, they're throwing up like beachwear now, and they all look good, and it's the top and the bottom. And
Don't do it.
I'm diving into the shorter short, you know, like the 5 inch inseam somewhere in there. That's where I like with my shorts. And it's, they all look good. They all look amazing. I would like to be by the beach. I live by the Columbia River. I'll go down to the waterfront all the time.
There you go.
I could wear these things, and I can't pull the trigger yet, but it's going to happen.
The thing about those places like Temu, and even when you order stuff from Amazon, like I too, man, saw a bunch of like swim sets and stuff like that. I was like, oh man, the top and the bottoms, like, yeah, give me those.
Right.
Got the bottoms, like, perfect. These couldn't fit any better. Put that top on and was like, yo, I couldn't wear it. I took just the shorts and I bought another nice shirt, but
there you go.
Couldn't wear the top. It was just too tiny.
Yeah, well, not to mention, that's the problem with this. It's like top or bottom matching or size matching. Half this stuff comes from China. So me wearing like an XL, 2XL, it's like a 7XL in what their sizes are. And they try to have like that conversion chart attached to each of those like items individually for sale. The pants are different than the shirt. And I've just always ended up... Never imagined.
It's one of those things that makes me miss the mall now. Now that I'm older.
Right.
And it's like, I remember just being able to go to the mall. I could spend a couple hours maybe looking for what I'm looking for, try it on, make sure it fits correctly before I leave the store and get home and be pissed off because, oh, yeah, these pants don't fit the way that they're supposed to. It's tough. You can't do that with stuff you're ordering from Temu or Amazon.
No.
Like, you get it. You got to wait 6 weeks or however long to get it back. So I do miss the mall, but
I still go to the mall.
Which, yeah, where are you? You're probably
well. I live right next to the Vancouver Mall, so for me, okay. I can almost walk to the mall. And we've got I had to buy a couple suits recently. I had to go one for a wedding and one for something else, and so I would walk into the mall and I went to the different stores that they had to try on, like, what kind of suit do I need? I'm not gonna buy a suit where like. It's not easy to find my measurements.
No.
I can't just walk
in to
TJ Maxx and like,
too long.
No,
yeah,
a little more personalized.
Happy. Yeah, exactly. So I had to do a whole thing, and then you have to figure out how to hem it because my back is too wide, and then my hips are too in tight. It's a whole thing.
Yeah, for tall guys like you and I, and you're bigger than I am, but the tall guys, like, we have to. There's never been a suit that I've purchased that I haven't had to go get altered.
Right.
Everything about it.
And arms, they won't do it with
down.
Rent.
No.
When you rent a suit, they will not do it. So you look like LeBron in 03. It's ridiculous.
Yep. Ah, the
Have
Dwayne
you guys
Wade,
seen
Mello,
that commercial with Carmelo and...
I went to my cousin's wedding. I looked like that in my suit jacket.
Yo, yeah. These suit styles are never going to die. Oh, yeah, they're going to die.
That's awesome. But yeah, man, shout out to all my short kings out there that can just go in, get a 42 regular,
right,
and be out of the,
no,
out of the mall.
I got the opposite problem, y'all. Not every short king out there just has the ability to get a suit. I have like a nice tall torso for you know, a nice like literal swimmer's body from the upper half up to my neck, but then little tiny stubby legs. So it's just, it doesn't look good when you're trying to get a suit fitted. It never matches.
Get them legs tapered, man. That's all I can say. But this is Sports Sunday, man. Feel free to interact with us on the Vancouver Ford text line. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit VancouverFord.com. You can interact with us 503-864-6326. That is 503-864-6FAN. Sports, we got, you know, a lot of it, you know, and this is a great time of the year because we know in a couple months we're going to be fishing for stories. And so, yeah, you know, we're going to be in dog days. So right now it's the best time of year. The playoffs for the NBA have just begun. So if you've been waiting for competitive basketball, here we go. So we'll talk a little bit of that. We'll also talk about which players in the league, or at least in the playoffs right now, have the most to prove. And which ones don't have anything to prove as we move forward in this year's playoffs. Man, Blazers wrap up their season. Thank God.
Woof.
We'll talk about that. We'll also get into some NFL stuff. We'll kind of give into some West Coast bias and stick with a lot of the teams around this region and ask, man, which one is going to emerge as the top team from anywhere out here out west. So if you're a Seahawks fan, you're a Niners fan, you're a Raiders fan, a lot of new Charger fans all of a sudden, you'll probably want to stick around and hear what we talk about in the second hour. Things are getting really weird between Belichick and Robert Kraft. We'll definitely talk about that, but we got a lot more. That's coming up here. But first, let's get right into it, fellas. Playoffs started yesterday. We got 4 more games today. We'll talk about some of those key matchups and kind of what we saw yesterday when we come back right here, Sports Sunday on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Monday with Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
I'm a big fan of this record, The Roots, and I forget the gentleman's name who's singing this song, but this was a cut. This came out like, I don't ask
Roots
for much
slap.
These days. Nobody knows that song? No?
I feel bad, but I honestly thought The Roots were just the Jimmy Fallon band.
Well, they are, but they're so much more than that.
So, and I know. I don't give them enough credit.
So
I know.
You should do this, Will. And I was actually, you know, we do these culturally specific kind of things at my job. Like, you know, before we start, it's not like a little icebreaker or something like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, you should hear this. So there's a freestyle, if nobody's ever heard it, and it's Black Thought, who is basically the front man of The Roots, the rapper. Mm-hmm. And he got on Funkmaster Flex. It was a show in New York. And he rapped for 10 minutes.
Oh, my God.
And when I tell you, if you had a friend or an uncle or something like that, or let's say you're from the middle of nowhere, you've never heard rap, never want to give it a chance. If somebody were to ask you what hip hop was, this is what I would play for them.
That's a big one.
I would play. I think at this point, like, there are colleges that study that freestyle and the things. It was so good, in fact, to where the next day after he did it, he wasn't just the band on Fallon. He was a guest because, yo, you killed it. So you get a chance, Will. You go
I'll
watch
check that one out.
Yeah, go Funkmaster Flex, Black Thought. It's incredible.
That might incredible. Be on the drive home.
Incredible, it. Man. It's incredible. But what also is incredible is we get a chance to watch some more than subpar basketball for the next 2 months or so, which is good.
Some subpar basketball.
I mean, like I said, it's a minimal amount of subpar basketball at this point. Now that all the trash teams are out, now you get a chance to see a lot of the really competitive teams in the NBA. And yesterday wasn't a letdown at all.
It didn't start off great.
But it didn't start out. There's a couple teams within this playoffs that were like, man, these are games we don't have to watch, but you probably should watch, because even in those games to where you're like, I can pass on that, there are some special, special, special players in this year's playoffs. Every team has a guy. Every single team in the playoffs has somebody that's like, ooh, he's nice.
Yeah.
You know, and so if you didn't see the Cavaliers Magic game, it's cool because most people didn't see the Cavaliers and Magic game. But
they went to the store during that one.
Yeah, no, that's the time where you seriously, your honey-do list is probably getting accomplished at that point. But the Cavs pulled it out 97-83. That boy Donovan Mitchell, if you haven't seen him play, so nice. Like, in the playoffs, he just goes to work. If you remember what he was able to do in Utah in the playoffs and even during the bubble, like, that boy is special. 30 points, 3 steals in a win last night for that team. Orlando doesn't seem like they're supposed to be good, but they sneaky are. So that has the potential to be a really good matchup.
Oh my gosh. I mean, yeah, their roster's a lot more, I would say, packed with really good young players than people remember. Banchero, you got Jalen Suggs. Hey, Franz Wagner is there hitting a lot of shots still. So you look at them and you're like, oh, no, they're kind of good. And they're in the middle of the pack in the East this year. So Orlando is definitely not like the laughable team that they've been in the past. But yeah, Cleveland's just got a bunch of dudes. And even when their white guy Strus isn't hitting threes, they were still up by, what, I think 20 at one point in yesterday's game. And it just looked like it was too easy for him. But it's a home game for Cleveland, and y'all know what they say, that the playoffs don't start in the NBA until a road team wins. So we'll actually see what happens in that series. But to start, Cleveland owned a very good young Orlando team.
I was impressed with Donovan Mitchell coming out and taking care of business right away. So I was watching this game on the bike, so getting ready, you know, getting ready for the gym. I started up on the bike, so I got to watch the whole first quarter. And what I saw was a very young Orlando Magic team that they weren't really supposed to be here, at least not this far
yet.
Right? Like, they should be a play-in team. They should be a 7 or an 8 seed. And because of some injury luck with Miami and with Philadelphia, all of a sudden, you're in the playoffs, and you don't even have to do the play-in tournament. You're already right there, and it felt like the moment, at least in the first quarter, it was a little too big for them. And Donovan Mitchell saw this, and so what does he do? He goes out and hits a couple big threes right to start the game, and that's what you need out of your superstar. Go out, notice some weak points of the other team. It felt a little bit like Orlando was really excited to be there, but a little awestruck of the moment. They weren't expecting it to be like this. So what does Donovan Mitchell do? He goes out, hits a couple shots. Now they're playing harder defense on Donovan Mitchell. He's able to find Strus. Strus hits a couple big three-pointers early on. And from then on out, they never relinquish the lead. So the score at the end, obviously, is a little more lopsided, I think, than most people expected. I do think Orlando is going to win a couple games in this series.
They're
going to
make it a series.
I think it's going to be a good series. But I think it's a good sign for Cleveland, where your superstar saw something that he could take advantage of. And not only was he not afraid to take advantage of it, he did in a big moment. And that gets you a big lead. Now, Orlando, they've got to be feeling a little bit more pressure. They're probably not going to be as awestruck as they were to start this game, but they're going to feel more pressure to win and win quickly. And when you have a young team like that, sometimes that can cause you to implode. So I really liked what Donovan Mitchell did early on in the game. Let's end it now in the first quarter and make everyone feel the pressure.
This is their window, too, with Cleveland and Donovan Mitchell. He's 27 years old. I mean, this is kind of that window that Blazers fans clamored that we kind of missed with Damian Lillard and didn't get enough of a supporting cast. But the whole point is that this is literally the start.
Finals, bro.
And I would think that looking at the rest of the East, like outside of Boston and Milwaukee, that there are games for the taking. There are playoff spots in the next 5 to 6 years, you know, in the Eastern Conference Finals available for the taking for a team that has a stud like a 27-year-old prime player in Donovan Mitchell. So, this is just the start for Cleveland. And, yeah, Orlando's got the great young team, but I am interested to see if this is like Cleveland kind of getting to new heights or if this is just Donovan Mitchell carrying everybody on his back or not.
Second game of the night was the Phoenix Suns, Kevin Durant, and Devin Booker visiting the Minnesota Timberwolves, the three seed, and it was an exciting game for a little bit. We got a chance to see two of the best players in the league, you know, one maybe closer to on his way out, and the other one, his career is just getting started. Anthony Edwards dropped 33 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, but KD had a hell of a game himself, 31 points, 7 rebounds, 11 for 17 on the night. At the end of the game, Anthony Edwards is just in awe and was like, man, they lost, but KD hit like 6 straight at a point, and he ended the game 11 for 17. Like, he missed 6 shots all night. Like, that's the type of sniper KD really is. But I really think this Phoenix team is in trouble. I think this could be a gentleman's sweep. I mean, I think Phoenix, we spent a lot of time talking about the Lakers and about the Bucks and their kind of discord that they have at this point. You got to throw Phoenix right in there. With this squad, they should be much better than they actually are. You know, Devin Booker wasn't great last night. He was minus 15, which I don't really pay much attention to plus minuses, you know, a whole lot.
Yeah, right.
But when you're the best player, one of the best players on your team, and you only have 18 points in your first playoff game, 5 for 16 from the field, you're not giving your chance or your team much of a chance to win. And the same can go for Bradley Beal. You know, he was 6-for-10, but only 15 points. They're going to need to do a lot more than that if they're going to beat this Minnesota team to, outside of Kat's injury, has been together for the entire year. Like, I mean, Phoenix has kind of dealt with the Beal injury in and out. Book has been kind of banged up in and out. So you haven't really got any cohesion for most of this year. And so I think, honestly, this Minnesota team is just playing clearly their best basketball, but not just that, some of the best basketball in the league right now.
Well, quickly to address your point on Kevin Durant just taking over a game. I mean, he's one of maybe, what you guys would agree, seven players in the league, like Luka Doncic, Nikola Jokic, Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Giannis, and Dame, you know, that can take over the game at any point individually and make a difference with literally 2 minutes of shots. I will never forget this, like, just 6 years into LeBron's career, the Blazers were up by 12 with Cleveland in Portland. LeBron himself, when he was on the Cavaliers, hit four straight threes and the Blazers lost. And I think from that moment for me, it was like, oh my God, this guy can change a game in a second. And that's what Kevin Durant can do for the Phoenix Suns. However, you're going up against Ant Edwards and the Minnesota Timberwolves, who are absolutely one of the best young teams in the NBA right now. Ant, for the next 15 years, looks like he's going to be like that energetic, just young, amazing new lead star that the NBA needs, that Ja Morant was going to be for the Memphis Grizzlies. They've got that now, Ant, to lean on here in Minnesota. But it's just really crappy for Phoenix when you have your other star player not showing up. And that is something that Devin Booker, he's been there, he hasn't been there. The Phoenix Suns have been so close with Monty Williams. Now they're under Frank Vogel. And I think that's the question for Phoenix. And if they're going to do well in this series depends on Bradley Beal and Devin Booker actually hitting shots. They just gave Grayson Allen how much money? Like $120-$130 million.
I hate Grayson.
No, I think it was like 170.
I love that we can hate him. He's the perfect Duke villain.
Oh, he is.
But
really is.
But what did he do after that contract, you guys? 0-for-3 and scored 4 points, all free throws. So that's the problem for Phoenix. And yeah, no one else shows up but KD. Timberwolves are going to take this series pretty easy.
I think this is where casual fans learn the truth about Anthony Edwards, because this whole year, right, he has grown into this player. Aside from probably Victor Wembanyama, he gets me to turn on basketball. I'm a pretty casual winter sport fan. I like hockey. I like basketball. And so what I kind of like to do is when I get home, I look through the games. And what do I find most interesting? Oh, the hockey game's the most interesting? I'll turn that on. Oh, this NBA game is the most interesting? I'll turn that on. So that's kind of how I work my remote at my house. The Minnesota Timberwolves, specifically Anthony Edwards, has kind of turned into that, like, well, I got to turn it on just in case he does something crazy.
I mean,
he might be.
Yeah, it might be something dope tonight.
You know what I mean? And so I feel like this is an opportunity, at least this series, where you're going up against Devin Booker, you're going up against Kevin Durant. So that's going to get casual fans to tune in anyways, right? This is the series where he truly takes that next step and becomes that star. He becomes that player that we all recognize as that tier one of player, right? When you go down the line of all the different superstars that we've had, they've all had that series where it's like, hey, they're pretty good. All of a sudden, obviously it's not overnight, but in that moment it's, oh my goodness, this guy is a star. And this is the perfect series for Anthony Edwards. Now, knowing Anthony Edwards, he's going to have at least one dud of a game. That's just kind of how he is, but he's so energetic. He's so much fun to watch. I loved him talking trash with Kevin Durant. That's wonderful. And that's perfect for the game, because you can see a character who cares. He's a player who is going to get in people's faces. Some people are not going to like that he talked trash. Other people are going to love it. But you know what it's going to lead to? It's going to lead to Discord on Twitter. Uh-huh. It's going to lead to more eyeballs. It's perfect for the game. And this is the series where you're going to truly realize what a star of a player that he is if you're a casual basketball fan who doesn't watch till the playoffs, because unfortunately for the NBA nowadays, that's what a lot of people do. He can get to the rim when he wants to. He can make highlight acrobatic dunks, but he can also rein in threes from deep, and he plays good hard defense. I think this is the series where everyone kind of realizes,
He's next. Absolutely.
This is where we see the ascension.
Really quickly, I appreciate when I say something stupid, the Vancouver Ford text line is there to correct me. Grayson Allen's contract was actually 4 years, 70. million, not over 100 or 170 million. So I apologize, but the point still stands is after you sign on the dotted line, you don't show up. And yeah, maybe not over 100 million, but...
About to say, no way Grayson Allen got 100 million.
I mean, he's still getting almost 20 mil a season, which that's... For a mid-level player in the NBA, I would say.
I mean,
that's
par for the course, though, for this NBA
money is different.
And everything. Yeah. So a couple more games on this schedule from yesterday we're going to talk about, and then also get to the slate of today's games. A lot of interesting games happening today, but really two of the more interesting things happened in two of yesterday's games, and really just one of them. But
LeBron lost me money. Well, the Lakers.
Well, two interesting
Darvin
things.
Ham. Who should I blame?
Two interesting
Tell
things
me,
happened
Rashad.
Yesterday, and we'll see about who exactly Jordan should blame. That's coming up next on Support Sunday. But first, Jordan has sports. Or, excuse me, not today. Big Willie style. It's got sports in it.
The Fan.
Miami, Boston over Dallas. LA. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Rashad. I'm just getting my bets in.
No, yeah. I mean, hopefully you can recover from what LeBron did to you yesterday, but I don't think it was – I don't know if it was LeBron's fault, but the Lakers are – I know you're a big LeBron dude, Will. I think a lot of people are. And LeBron James last night had another LeBron James-esque night. You know, 27 points, 6 rebounds, 8 assists. Dude is almost 40. Like, it's – we'll get there later. But Anthony Davis came through, pitched in with 32 points, 14 rebounds, and also threw in 5 assists, but 4 blocks. Anthony Davis has been out of his mind as of late. But it just wasn't enough, unfortunately, if you're a Laker fan, because – these damn Nuggets, man, they know exactly what they're doing. They've been together for so long. They've played so much basketball together. They're coming off an amazing regular season, again, where Jokic probably should be named the MVP, you know, for his third award.
Well, not according to Kendrick Perkins, but, you know, it's racist if he gets it.
Well, I mean, it's I don't want to say that, you know, at this point he's the GOAT right now. Like, and it's not pretty. And I think that's the thing about Jokic's game that people don't like, and they'll never – people always say, like, oh, no, if he's top five. Like, I can't tell you how many pundits I've heard say, I'm not sure if Jokic is top – like, what are you talking about? Jokic is top one because there's nothing you can do about it. And it's so easy. He has a refined Tim Duncan-esque game. There's nothing cool about it. There's nothing flashy about it. There's nothing, you know, like almost watchable about it. Like when you watch Jokic, it's just like, man, this is almost kind of boring. I get a real San Antonio Spurs as when Tim Duncan, David Robinson, all of them, it's like, yeah, they just play the right way. And Jokic just doesn't miss shots, it feels like.
Yeah.
They all go in. Like no matter what he does, squirmy, just kind of throw it up, splash.
Anything.
Like how does that work? Like that. Like, I've never seen nothing like Jokic. We, as basketball fans, as sports fans, have never seen anything like Nikola Jokic, and he carried his team last night. 32 points, 12 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, plus 14 on the night, 15 to 23. He did everything you needed him to do, but it was the rest of his starters that won that game for him.
Oh, my goodness. Jamal Murray hitting huge fadeaway threes at a couple of different points. And let's not forget that the biggest part of Nikola Jokic's game, I think, is just how often he's on the court in today's NBA. With, you know what, I know that they're trying to back off on the rest days and the times that star players sit in the league, but guess what? They're still trying to do that, and teams are still trying to skirt around that in any way possible.
Yeah, I remember when he was in the playoffs against Portland, which is essentially why they lost to Portland, is because at the end of the game, Jokic couldn't stay on the floor. He was just gassed.
You're talking about that 4 overtime win for Portland.
Yeah, you know, he was just gassed, and it eventually cost them the series because Jokic couldn't keep up. To your point, he's always on the floor now.
Yeah, and he played in 79 games this year, so it's definitely been a huge reason for the Nuggets' success is just him being there over other star players in the league. But as far as last night's game went to start that series, I mean, credit to the Lakers. They did what they needed to do in the play-in. They always always seem to, at those right moments, kind of secure
themselves. Never lost a play-in game.
No.
The Lakers.
Mm-hmm. No. They always secure themselves to get in, you know, right at that perfect point. It's just what LeBron's been able to do most of his career. But unfortunately, I don't know if you want to blame D'Angelo Russell's lack of three-point shots being made last night. It was bad. He went 1 for 9, and there were a lot of those just normal shots that should have gone in that didn't. I would possibly put it on that, or what really just to me looked awful is knowing, as Darvin Ham and the Lakers head coach, like what your team is, you still wanting to slow the game down as much as you did and slow that pace down and play more of a half-court game, as opposed to Denver's, it was obvious what their offensive attack mindset was we just want to shoot as many times as possible in 48 minutes. And I know LeBron's old, but they're not going to match Jokic and the Nuggets if they're trying to slow the game down and trying to get them to play their game. They're trying to get the Nuggets to bend, but no, it's not going to happen. The Lakers, unfortunately, with the roster that they have, Rui Hachimura's not always hitting shots, Austin Reed's not always hitting shots, and if Russell, your point guard, ain't hitting threes, then you're done. You guys are going to be the one that has to bend right now against the Nuggets, especially on their home floor, and it just didn't happen.
The Nuggets have so many guys. I'm looking at KCP, and I'm looking at Michael Porter Jr. specifically, that when they went on their big third quarter run, they just got hot from deep, right? Like in the middle of the third quarter with about 6 minutes left, that game is tied, right? All of a sudden, Nikola Jokic gets the ball up at that high post spot right at the top of the free throw line. He starts to attack, that brings an extra defender, and then they start finding those guys on the outside on the wings, and they just don't miss three-pointers. And all of a sudden, that game went from it is tied, it could go either way, to, oh my God, the Lakers are down by 10 in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's just what championship teams do. It's why we think that this is a team that could win two or three NBA titles, because they have so many great role players that understand what they need to do, but they also understand where Jokic wants them. Like, we forget a little bit with this team, but if you take away the Jamal Murray injury, for the most part, this is the same team for the last 4 to 5 years. Mm-hmm. So they've built this chemistry.
Without the other star.
Exactly. And they know where they need to be. You throw in Jamal Murray when he's healthy. Jamal Murray might be the best postseason performer right now in the NBA because he just elevates. And he's done it for multiple playoffs, seasons in a row. So when I watch this game, yeah, it sucks that D'Angelo Russell went 1 for 9. That's not going to happen every game. He's going to hit shots. I do think the Lakers are going to win a game or two. But the problem is right now is you have a team that they don't need to say things. They already know where they're going to be. You don't see that errant pass where Michael Porter Jr.'s in the corner and Jokic thought he was going to cut up. Or Jamal Murray's driving down and he thinks he's going to get a roll from KCP on a screen or what have you, right? They know where they need to be. They're positioned. They're ready to shoot. And when they get called upon, even their role players make big-time shots.
Yeah, and I don't think really the Lakers have enough shot makers on their team. If we're being real, like you've got Anthony Davis, who can get his own shot, but he's not really creating a lot of shots for anybody else. But then Austin Reeves is hit or miss. D'Angelo Russell has really been a huge part of what the Lakers have been able to do this season. When he plays well, D'Lo is amazing. You know, I personally think that the Lakers, and this is a Darvin Ham thing, they have to change the way they play LeBron. Like, unfortunately, LeBron would be the best power forward in the league right now if they put him at power forward. That way it opens things up to where the ball isn't in his hands as much. And so now everybody isn't LeBron watching, which is pretty much what happens with the Lakers or any team that he's on. And now that he's older, he can still do almost everything that he was able to do before. But I think this would really enable somebody like D'Angelo Russell to get the ball in his hands more and not be as timid about making plays when LeBron's on the floor. So I think the Nuggets are in firm control of this series. This is just game one. I think it's going to be a bloodbath. I don't think the Lakers are going to get close in any one of those games. At one point, the Lakers were up 12 in yesterday's game in the second, and then here comes Denver, and there was no real really looking back at that point.
They were up by three to start the second half because of like a – it was almost a LeBron logo three to end the first, and I went and threw down on the money line for the Lakers at that point. I think it was like minus 105 for the Lakers versus minus 115 for Denver. And I'm like, all right, feeling pretty. And then immediately to start the third quarter, it was, oh, missed shot, Denver goes on a 12-point run. It was almost outstanding, the level of difference from the first to the second half. And you don't know what that is. You don't know if that's coaching, if they're just not ready, if they're just tired. But, God, the pace of the game did not work for the Lakers, and they've got to do something. I'm sorry, but especially in Denver, they are the one that has to bend. Jokic and Jamal Murray and Porter Jr. and Aaron Gordon with all of the highlight dunks he's got, they ain't bending.
Well, and, like, I'm a big LeBron guy, but you can see the difference between LeBron and Jokic just in how the role players played, right? Obviously, D'Angelo Russell isn't necessarily a role player for this team. He's really your third guy, right? He is your bat dog to AD's Robin to LeBron's Batman. Well, he's getting a lot of shots that weren't falling. They weren't always the best look, but he felt like he needed to take those shots because they need him to take 20 shots a game. When you look at the Nuggets, yeah, Jokic got his 32, but what did he do early on in the game? What did he do in the second quarter? What did he do at the beginning of the third? He made sure to draw the defense to him to kick the ball out to his role players, so they're catching the ball in tempo. They're still getting their shots up. It's not a, well, coach wants me to shoot 15 times a game this game, so I got to make sure that I get a shot up right now because I don't know the next time I'm going to touch the ball. It's, I know I'm going to, if I'm out there for 4 minutes, I'm going to get an opportunity to shoot two or three times. And if you know that, you're going to make sure that you're continuing to shoot in rhythm and getting your timing right. And Jokic always seems to find guys right where they can get the ball, catch, and shoot. It's a perfect pass every single time. And so when you're called upon and you need a big shot, when you need the big KCP three, when you need the big Michael Porter Jr. three, they seem to hit it because they have their other shots before. They're not coming off cold from the bench or coming off cold subbing in or coming off cold at the start of a quarter or a half. They are ready to go. And that's the biggest difference right now is the Laker players don't always know when they're going to get it. So sometimes they have to chuck up bad shots.
Well, the Lakers are, hopefully if you're a Laker fan, they're due for a win. But like I said, I think it's going to be a bloodbath, and the Joker is going to be the last one standing. So game two is, what, Tuesday?
Monday.
Yeah, Monday night.
Game two is Monday night, but there was one other game, probably the most exciting game of the day, and we'll wrap up yesterday's slate of games with that as the New York Knicks, New York stand up. Is that what everybody's been saying lately? You know, New York stand up. The Knicks take game one for the 76ers, but that wasn't the main storyline of that game. We'll talk about that next right here, Sports Sunday on the Fan.
With Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
So, you know, Big Willie Ordner just kind of, you know, showed his age. He was like, I didn't know at first that this wasn't Return of the Quack. It wasn't. Although that was a cut. Shout out to Sup With Your Girl.
Sup With Your Girl. Dude, yeah. that was middle school, the I Smell Roses, and then that was sixth grade, and then seventh grade.
That was my favorite one. I was a big I Smell Roses fan. Yeah. I thought that was a good one.
It was so good. And then Return of the Quack was greatness, and then like you're a dumb middle schooler like listening to it. Like, I can't believe they made this great beat. And then I forget if it was one of my parents or like a cousin that was like, hey, dummy, there's a real song. Come listen to it.
Return of the Mac.
Dude, I've had it on every phone I've had since like iPhone 5.
Mark Morris. Remember the first time I heard that on the radio, I was like, oh, this song is amazing.
So. And then you find out the actual meaning of the song, and you're like, you think you're God's gift to women on earth?
Yes. All right. What you mean? Yeah,
Return of the Mac.
Yeah, here I come, ladies.
Great music video, too. Yeah. Great music video. He gives off Mac energy.
Yeah, like, he does.
It's a good music video.
Yeah.
The term Mackin comes from, I would assume.
Absolutely, man. So last night, man, Joel Embiid gave off some great Mackin energy, too. You know, showed his toughness, showed his resolve, and was able to kind of muster through what was maybe a tough shooting night for Embiid, 8-for-22 from the floor, but ended the game with 29 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists. More than that, had his first dunk since he returned from injury, and that's where things kind of went left. So at the end of the second quarter, Joel Embiid, nice move, threw the ball off the backboard to himself, dunked it, came down, dunked on, I forget who it was from the Knicks. So I think it was Ananobi. Dunked on Ananobi and then went down with an injury. And you can tell on his face as soon as he hit the ground, it's like, oh, no, this is going to be bad. But he did return, and he played really, really well throughout the game. But that damn Jalen Brunson, you know, at the end of the game was amazing. Josh Hart.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The Fan.
Miami, Boston over, Dallas, L.A. Go ahead, Rashad. I'm just getting my bets in.
No, yeah. I mean, hopefully you can recover from what LeBron did to you yesterday, but I don't think it was... I don't know if it was LeBron's fault, but the Lakers are – I know you're a big LeBron dude, Will. I think a lot
Huge
of people
stand.
A lot of people are. And LeBron James last night had another LeBron James-esque night. You know, 27 points, 6 rebounds, 8 assists. Dude is almost 40. Like, it's – we'll get there later. But – Anthony Davis came through, pitched in with 32 points, 14 rebounds, and also threw in 5 assists, but 4 blocks. Anthony Davis has been out of his mind as of late, but it just wasn't enough, unfortunately, for if you're a Laker fan, because these damn Nuggets, man, they know exactly what they're doing. They've been together for so long. They've played so much basketball together. They're coming off an amazing regular season, again, where Jokic probably should be named the MVP, you know, for his
yep.
third award.
Well, not according to Kendrick Perkins, but, you know, it's racist if he gets it.
Well, I mean, it's I don't want to say that, you know, at this point he's the GOAT right now. Like, and it's not pretty. And I think that's the thing about Jokic's game that people don't like, and they'll never. People always say, like, oh no, if he's top 5. I can't tell you how many pundits I've heard say, I'm not sure if Jokic is top. Like, what are you talking about? Jokic is top 1 because there's nothing you can do about it, and it's so easy. He has a refined Tim Duncan-esque game. There's nothing cool about it. There's nothing flashy about it. There's nothing, you know, like, almost watchable about it. Like, when you watch Jokic, it's like, man, this is almost kind of boring. I get a real San Antonio Spurs as when Tim Duncan, David Robinson, all of them, it's like, yeah, they just play the right way. And Jokic just doesn't miss shots, it feels like.
Yeah.
They all go in. Like, no matter what he does, squirmy, just kind of throw it up, splash.
Anything.
Like, how does that work like that? Like, I've never seen nothing like Jokic. We, as basketball fans, as sports fans, have never seen anything like Nikola Jokic, and he carried his team last night. 32 points, 12 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, plus 14 on the night, 15 of 23. He did everything you needed him to do, but it was the rest of his starters that won that game for him.
Oh, my goodness. Jamal Murray hitting huge fadeaway threes at a couple of different points. And let's not forget that the biggest part of Nikola Jokic's game, I think, is just how often he's on the court in today's NBA. With, you know what, I know that they're trying to back off on the rest days and the times that star players sit in the league, but guess what? They're still trying to do that, and teams are still trying to skirt around that in any way possible.
Yeah, I remember when he was in the playoffs against Portland, which is essentially why they lost to Portland, is because at the end of the game, Jokic couldn't stay on the floor. He was just gassed.
You're talking about that four overtime win for Portland.
Yeah, you know, he was just gassed, and it eventually cost them the series because Jokic couldn't keep up. To your point, he's always on the floor now.
Yeah, and he played in 79 games this year, so it's definitely been a huge reason for the Nuggets' success is just him being there over other star players in the league. But as far as last night's game went to start that series, I mean, credit to the Lakers. They did what they needed to do in the play-in. They always seem to, at those right moments, kind of secure
themselves. Never lost a play-in game,
no.
The Lakers.
Mm-hmm. No, they always secure themselves to get in, you know, right at that perfect point. It's just what LeBron's been able to do most of his career. But unfortunately, I don't know if you want to blame D'Angelo Russell's lack of three-point shots being made last night. It was bad. He went 1-for-9, and there were a lot of those just normal shots that should have gone in that didn't. I would possibly put it on that, or what really just to me looked awful is knowing, as Darvin Ham and the Lakers head coach, like what your team is, you still wanting to slow the game down as much as you did and slow that pace down and play more of a half-court game, as opposed to Denver's, it was obvious what their offensive attack mindset was we just want to shoot as many times as possible in 48 minutes. And I know LeBron's old, but they're not going to match Jokic and the Nuggets if they're trying to slow the game down and trying to get them to play their game. They're trying to get the Nuggets to bend, but no, it's not going to happen. The Lakers, unfortunately, with the roster that they have, Rui Hachimura's not always hitting shots, Austin Reed's not always hitting shots, and if Russell, your point guard, ain't hitting threes, then you're done. You guys are going to be the one that has to bend right now against the Nuggets, especially on their home floor, and it just didn't happen.
The Nuggets have so many guys. I'm looking at KCP, and I'm looking at Michael Porter Jr. specifically, that when they went on their big third quarter run, they just got hot from deep, right? Like in the middle of the third quarter with about 6 minutes left, that game is tied, right? All of a sudden, Nikola Jokic gets the ball up at that high post spot right at the top of the free throw line. He starts to attack, that brings an extra defender, and then they start finding those guys on the outside on the wings, and they just don't miss three-pointers. And all of a sudden, that game went from it is tied, it could go either way, to, oh my God, the Lakers are down by 10 in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's just what championship teams do. It's why we think that this is a team that could win two or three NBA titles, because they have so many great role players that understand what they need to do, but they also understand where Jokic wants them. Like, we forget a little bit with this team, but if you take away the Jamal Murray injury, for the most part, this is the same team for the last 4 to 5 years. Mm-hmm. So they've built this chemistry.
Without the other star.
Exactly. And they know where they need to be. You throw in Jamal Murray when he's healthy. Jamal Murray might be the best postseason performer right now in the NBA because he just elevates. And he's done it for multiple playoffs, seasons in a row. So when I watch this game, yeah, it sucks that D'Angelo Russell went 1-for-9. That's not going to happen every game. He's going to hit shots. I do think the Lakers are going to win a game or two. But the problem is right now is you have a team that they don't need to say things. They already know where they're going to be. You don't see that errant pass where Michael Porter Jr. is in the corner and Jokic thought he was going to cut up. Or Jamal Murray's driving down and he thinks he's going to get a roll from KCP on a screen or what have you, right? They know where they need to be. They're positioned. They're ready to shoot. And when they get called upon, even their role players make big time shots.
Yeah. And I don't think really the Lakers have enough shot makers on their team. If we're being real, like you've got Anthony Davis who can get his own shot, but he's not really creating a lot of shots for anybody else. But then Austin Reeves is hit or miss. D'Angelo Russell has really been a huge part of what the Lakers have been able to do this season. When he plays well, D'Lo is amazing. You know, I personally think that the Lakers, and this is a Darvin Ham thing, they have to change the way they play LeBron. Like, unfortunately, LeBron would be the best power forward in the league right now if they put him at power forward. That way it opens things up to where the ball isn't in his hands as much. And so now everybody isn't LeBron watching, which is pretty much what happens with the Lakers or any team that he's on. And now that he's older, he can still do almost everything that he was able to do before. But I think this would really enable somebody like D'Angelo Russell to get the ball in his hands more and not be as timid about making plays when LeBron's on the floor. So I think the Nuggets are in firm control of this series. This is just game one. I think it's going to be a bloodbath. I don't think the Lakers are going to get close in any one of those games. At one point, the Lakers were up 12 in yesterday's game in the second, and then here comes Denver, and there was no really looking back at that point.
They were up by three to start the second half because of it was almost a LeBron logo three to end the first, and I went and threw down on the money line for the Lakers at that point. I think it was like minus 105 for the Lakers versus minus 115 for Denver. And I'm like, all right, feeling pretty. And then immediately to start the third quarter, it was, oh, missed shot. Denver goes on a 12-point run. It was almost outstanding, the level of difference from the first to the second half. And you don't know what that is. You don't know if that's coaching, if they're just not ready, if they're just tired. But, God, the pace of the game did not work for the Lakers, and they've got to do something. I'm sorry, but especially in Denver, they are the one that has to bend. Jokic, yeah, and Jamal Murray and Porter Jr. and Aaron Gordon with all of the highlight dunks he's got, they ain't bending.
Well, and, I'm a big LeBron guy, but you can see the difference between LeBron and Jokic just in how the role players played, right? Obviously, D'Angelo Russell isn't necessarily a role player for this team. He's really your third guy, right? He is your bat dog to AD's Robin to LeBron's Batman. Well, he's getting a lot of shots that weren't falling. They weren't always the best look, but he felt like he needed to take those shots because they need him to take 20 shots a game. When you look at the Nuggets, yeah, Jokic got his 32, but what did he do early on in the game? What did he do in the second quarter? What did he do at the beginning of the third? He made sure to draw the defense to him to kick the ball out to his role players, so they're catching the ball in tempo. They're still getting their shots up. It's not a, well, coach wants me to shoot 15 times a game this game, so I got to make sure that I get a shot up right now because I don't know the next time I'm going to touch the ball. It's, I know I'm going to, if I'm out there for 4 minutes, I'm going to get an opportunity to shoot two or three times. And if you know that, you're going to make sure that you're continuing to shoot in rhythm and getting your timing right. And Jokic always seems to find guys right where they can get the ball, catch, and shoot. It's a perfect pass every single time. And so when you're called upon and you need a big shot, when you need the big KCP three, when you need the big Michael Porter Jr. three, they seem to hit it because they have their other shots before. They're not coming off cold from the bench or coming off cold subbing in or coming off cold at the start of a quarter or a half. They are ready to go. And that's the biggest difference right now is the Laker players don't always know when they're going to get it. So sometimes they have to chuck up bad shots.
Well, the Lakers are, hopefully if you're a Laker fan, they're due for a win. But like I said, I think it's going to be a bloodbath, and the Joker is going to be the last one standing. So game two is, what, Tuesday?
Monday.
Yeah, Monday night.
Game two is Monday night, but there was one other game, probably the most exciting game of the day, and we'll wrap up yesterday's slate of games with that as the New York Knicks. New York stand up. Is that what everybody's been saying lately? You know, New York stand up. The Knicks take game one for the 76ers, but that wasn't the main storyline of that game. We'll talk about that next right here, Sports Sunday on the Fan.
With Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
So, you know, Big Willie Ordner just kind of, you know, showed his age. He was like, I didn't know at first that this wasn't Return of the Quack. It wasn't. Although that was a cut. Shout out to Sup With Your Girl.
Sup With Your Girl. Dude, yeah. That was middle school, the I Smell Roses, and then that was sixth grade, and then seventh grade.
That was my favorite one. I was a big I Smell Roses fan. Yeah. I thought that was a good one.
It was so good. And then Return of the Quack was greatness, and then you're a dumb middle schooler listening to it. I can't believe they made this great beat. And then I forget if it was one of my parents or a cousin that was like, hey, dummy, there's a real song. Come listen to it.
Return of the Mac.
Dude, I've had it on every phone I've had since iPhone 5.
Mark Morris. Remember the first time I heard that on the radio, I was like, oh, this song is amazing.
So. And then you find out the actual meaning of the song, and you're like, you think you're God's gift to women on earth?
Yes. All right. What you mean? Yeah,
Return of the Mac.
Yeah, here I come, ladies.
Great music video, too. Yeah. Great music video. He gives off Mac energy.
Yeah, he does.
It's a good music video.
Yeah.
The term Mackin comes from, I would assume.
Absolutely, man. So last night, man, Joel Embiid gave off some great Mackin energy, too. You know, showed his toughness, showed his resolve, and was able to kind of muster through what was maybe a tough shooting night for Embiid, 8-for-22 from the floor, but ended the game with 29 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists. More than that, had his first dunk since he returned from injury, and that's where things kind of went left. So at the end of the second quarter, Joel Embiid, nice move, threw the ball off the backboard to himself, dunked it, came down, dunked on, I forget who it was from the Knicks. So I think it was Ananobi. Dunked on Ananobi and then went down with an injury. And you can tell in his face as soon as he hit the ground, it's like, oh, no, this is going to be bad. But he did return, and he played really, really well throughout the game. But that damn Jalen Brunson, you know, at the end of the game was amazing. Josh Hart hit some huge shots down the stretch. This Knicks team is not the Knicks teams of old. They know how to play basketball. They're led by Tibbs, so they know how to play defense. They're going to be gritty. They're going to be hard-nosed. I think without Joel Embiid at 100% in this series, I think the Knicks smell blood in the water.
I don't think there's any other outcome at this point. If Joel Embiid is 50 to 70% and Tyrese Maxey's not hitting threes, because he's pretty much your only big scorer, what are you going to leave Kyle Lowry had to shoot a bunch of threes last night. I mean, he actually had a good game and scored almost 20, but that's not a consistent, I guess. I usually hate to use the word consistent when it comes to professional athletes. That's what they're paid to do, is be good and be consistent. And when you're not consistent, you're just being bad. So up and actually, you know, do what your contract says you're supposed to do. But Kyle Lowry doesn't play like this every game, and he was on the court for 40 minutes. So we're already talking about a depleted Sixers team. On the other side of things, and Nick Batum actually hitting a bunch of threes was the reason they're even in this situation in the first place from their play-in game. And on the other side of things, the Knicks, Jalen Brunson's good. Josh Hart, they both led the way with 22 points. The performance by Josh Hart, especially those last couple of threes in the final 90 seconds or so, It makes me sad as a Blazers fan knowing that they had him and traded him while Dame was on the roster, essentially to kind of start that, like, quote-unquote rebuild and getting rid of Dame, and then the whole turnover with Scoot Henderson. So it just makes me sad seeing that there are pieces that Portland has had as good as Josh Hart, because Josh Hart has ice in his veins. In New York, are you kidding me? Madison Square Garden ain't the easiest place to show up. And, man, Portland had him. I try not to lean on that too much, but it was a great performance by New York and Jalen and Josh Hart. So props to those guys. Hate seeing him away having the success, but good for him. And it looks like all Knicks in this series if Joel Embiid's not healthy.
I think that it could be close. I think Tyrese Maxey, I just talked about it with Ant Edwards, about how Ant Edwards is about to take that ascension into that next tier up of superstar. Tyrese Maxey is not going to do that, but I do believe that he's going to take that next step up into he's one of the better twos in the NBA. I really like the way that he plays, and I really think that him and Joel feed off each other. Obviously, Joel Embiid is nowhere near 100%. If Joel Embiid is 100%, I would like the 76ers. It's very clear that probably once a game, he is going to have a bad fall. To dunk like that and kind of have just a normal land and all of a sudden you're grabbing your knee, his meniscus is not right. And he's sore and he's worked his way back because he is a warrior and he wants to have postseason success. I do believe that this is going to be a six-game series, because I think that there are going to be times where if Joel Embiid can have a 10 to 12 minute stretch in a game, and they don't have to be consecutive minutes, it can be 5 at the end of the second quarter and 5 at the end of the fourth, where he just takes over a game. There's no one on that Knicks team that can truly stop him. They play great defense, but Joel Embiid is such a freak that there's no one that can truly, truly stop him. He's going to get his points. And once he starts getting his points, that's going to open up opportunities for Maxey, who I do believe plays really well off of what Joel can do. He can shoot from outside, but he's also fast enough to where he can get into the paint and make some big buckets. I think that you are going to have a game or two where you have a Tyrese Maxey game, where you look up and all of a sudden, the guy has hit 3 or 4 three-pointers, he's got 30 points, and Philly is going to win some games. I think at the end, it's going to be Joel Embiid is not healthy. He is not anywhere near where his MVP form is, and that's just the way it breaks sometimes. So the Knicks will overwhelm them just with how good they are defensively and how gritty they are. And you also have a bunch of guys who at any moment can go get 20. Like, that is the beauty of this Knicks team. Yes, you have your clear number one, but you don't have a clear number two, but you almost have three or four dudes who
that could be the number two on what any given night.
Right. Like Josh Hart had 22 points in this game. Would it shock you if in the next game, game two, DiVincenzo goes off from the 3-point line, hits four 3-pointers? He's good to do it. He could do it at any moment.
You saw McBride off the bench with 21 points just shooting that thing the entire time, 5 for 7 from three.
Right. So I feel like they have too many players that eventually they're going to overwhelm Philadelphia. But I do think this will be a good series, and I think Philly's going to keep it close. And most games, I think, are going to end very similar to this one, where it's 2 minutes left in the game, it's within 5 points, and it could go either way. It's going to be a fun watch, and yeah. I hope for Joel Embiid's sake, he can at least have a game or two like he did in the play-in game, where he can start to shed some of this postseason Embiid shows up and he seems to wilt.
I do need to point out that it looked, before Joel Embiid went down at the end of that game, I was kind of hoping that he would move a little bit faster. They were down by, I think, 4 or 6 at that point, 2 minutes to go-ish. And you would think that instead of holding the ball for 10 seconds in the shot clock, that it is imperative that you get moving. I don't know if that's just the decision that he's making or if he is injured, but if it's because of injury and that is what's holding the Sixers back and he's just not able to go full speed in those moments, like, oh, Sixers got a big issue.
Yeah, the Sixers might have an issue, but let's see if the Knicks can... cannot do what the Knicks typically have done in the past, and that's lose this series in the first round. So we'll see, you know, what happens there. So that's the slate of yesterday's games. One game is about to be underway, so we got 4 on the slate today. Let's go ahead and go over some of those. Hopefully get us some Blazers and even some NFL, you know, before we get out of here. But stick around. Second hour, Sports Sunday next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
26ers, but that wasn't the main storyline of that game. We'll talk about that next right here, Sports Sunday on the Fan.
With Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
So, you know, Big Willie Ordner just kind of, you know, showed his age. He was like, I didn't know at first that this wasn't Return of the Quack. It wasn't. Although that was a cut. Shout out to Sup With Your Girl.
Sup With Your Girl, dude. Yeah. That was middle school. The I Smell Roses, and then that was sixth grade, and then seventh.
That was
grade.
My favorite one. I was a big I Smell Roses fan. Yeah. I thought that was a good one.
It was so good. And then Return of the Quack was greatness. And then like you're a dumb middle schooler like listening to it, like I can't believe they made this great beat. And then. I forget if it was one of my parents or like a cousin that was like, hey, dummy, there's a real song. Come listen to it.
Return of the Mac.
Dude, I've had it on every phone I've had since like iPhone 5.
Mark Morris. Remember the first time I heard that on the radio, I was like, oh, this song is amazing.
So. And then you find out the actual meaning of the song and you're like, you think you're God's gift to women on earth?
Yes. All right. What you mean? Yeah,
Return of the Mac.
Yeah. Here I come, ladies.
Great music video, too. Great music video. He gives off Mac energy.
Yeah,
like,
he does.
It's a good music video.
Yeah.
The term Mackin comes from, I would assume.
Absolutely, man. So last night, man, Joel Embiid gave off some great Mackin energy, too. You know, showed his toughness, showed his resolve, and was able to kind of muster through what was maybe a tough shooting night for Embiid, 8 for 22 from the floor, but ended the game with 29 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists. More than that, had his first dunk since he returned from injury, and that's where things kind of went left. So at the end of the second quarter, Joel Embiid, nice move, threw the ball off the backboard to himself, dunked it, came down, dunked on, I forget who it was from the Knicks. So I think it was Ananobi dunked on Anunoby and then went down with an injury. And you can tell in his face as soon as he hit the ground, it's like, oh, no, this is going to be bad. But he did return, and he played really, really well throughout the game. But that damn Jalen Brunson, you know, at the end of the game was amazing. Josh Hart hit some huge shots down the stretch. This Knicks team is not the Knicks teams of old. They know how to play basketball. They're led by Tibbs, so they know how to play defense. They're going to be gritty. They're going to be hard-nosed. I think without Joel Embiid at 100% in this series, I think the Knicks smell blood in the water.
I don't think there's any other outcome at this point. If Joel Embiid is 50 to 70% and Tyrese Maxey's not hitting threes, because he's pretty much your only big scorer, what are you going to leave Kyle Lowry had to shoot a bunch of threes last night. I mean, he actually had a good game and scored almost 20, but that's not a consistent, I guess. I usually hate to use the word consistent when it comes to professional athletes. That's what they're paid to do, is be good and be consistent. And when you're not consistent, you're just being bad. So live up and actually, you know, do what your contract says you're supposed to do. But Kyle Lowry doesn't play like this every game, and he was on the court for 40 minutes. So we're already talking about a depleted Sixers team. On the other side of things, and Nick Batum actually hitting a bunch of threes was the reason they're even in this situation in the first place from their play-in game. And on the other side of things, the Knicks, Jalen Brunson's good. Josh Hart, they both led the way with 22 points. The performance by Josh Hart, especially those last couple of threes in the final 90 seconds or so, It makes me sad as a Blazers fan knowing that they had him and traded him while Dame was on the roster, essentially to kind of start that, like, quote-unquote rebuild and getting rid of Dame, and then the whole turnover with Scoot Henderson. So it just makes me sad seeing that there are pieces that Portland has had as good as Josh Hart, because Josh Hart has ice in his veins. In New York, are you kidding me? Madison Square Garden ain't the easiest place to show up. And, man, Portland had him. I try not to lean on that too much, but it was a great performance by New York and Jalen and Josh Hart. So props to those guys. Hate seeing him away having the success, but good for him. And it looks like all Knicks in this series if Joel Embiid's not healthy.
I think that it could be close. I think Tyrese Maxey, I just talked about it with Ant Edwards, about how Ant Edwards is about to take that ascension into that next tier up of superstar. Tyrese Maxey is not going to do that, but I do believe that he's going to take that next step up into he's one of the better twos in the NBA. I really like the way that he plays, and I really think that him and Joel feed off each other. Obviously, Joel Embiid is nowhere near 100%. If Joel Embiid is 100%, I would like the 76ers. It's very clear that probably once a game, he is going to have a bad fall. To dunk like that and kind of have just a normal land and all of a sudden you're grabbing your knee, his meniscus is not right. And he's sore and he's worked his way back because he is a warrior and he wants to have postseason success. I do believe that this is going to be a six-game series, because I think that there are going to be times where if Joel Embiid can have a 10 to 12 minute stretch in a game, and they don't have to be consecutive minutes, it can be five at the end of the second quarter and five at the end of the fourth, where he just takes over a game, there's no one on that Knicks team that can truly stop him. They play great defense, but Joel Embiid is such a freak that there's no one that can truly, truly stop him. He's going to get his points. And once he starts getting his points, that's going to open up opportunities for Maxey, who I do believe plays really well off of what Joel can do. He can shoot from outside, but he's also fast enough to where he can get into the paint and make some big buckets. I think that you are going to have a game or two where you have a Tyrese Maxey game, where you look up and all of a sudden the guy has hit three or four three-pointers, he's got 30 points, and Philly is going to win some games. I think at the end, it's going to be Joel Embiid is not healthy. He is not anywhere near where his MVP form is, and that's just the way it breaks sometimes. So the Knicks will overwhelm them just with how good they are defensively and how gritty they are. And you also have a bunch of guys who at any moment can go get 20. Like, that is the beauty of this Knicks team. Yes, you have your clear number one, but you don't have a clear number two, but you almost have three or four dudes who
that could be the number two on what any given night.
Right. Like, Josh Hart had 22 points in this game. Would it shock you if in the next game, game two, DiVincenzo goes off from the 3-point line, hits four three-pointers? He's good to do it. He could do it at any moment.
You saw McBride off the bench with 21 points just shooting that thing the entire time, 5 for 7 from three.
Right. So I feel like they have too many players that eventually they're going to overwhelm Philadelphia. But I do think this will be a good series, and I think Philly's going to keep it close. And most games, I think, are going to end very similar to this one, where it's 2 minutes left in the game, it's within 5 points, and it could go either way. It's going to be a fun watch, and yeah. I hope for Joel Embiid's sake, he can at least have a game or two like he did in the play-in game, where he can start to shed some of this postseason Embiid shows up and he seems to win.
I do need to point out that it looked, before Joel Embiid went down at the end of that game, I was kind of hoping that he would move a little bit faster. They were down by, I think, 4 or 6 at that point, 2 minutes to go-ish. And you would think that instead of holding the ball for 10 seconds in the shot clock, that it is imperative that he get moving. I don't know if that's just the decision that he's making or if he is injured, but if it's because of injury and that is what's holding the Sixers back and he's just not able to go full speed in those moments, like, oh, Sixers got a big issue.
Yeah, the Sixers might have an issue, but let's see if the Knicks can... cannot do what the Knicks typically have done in the past, and that's lose this series in the first round. So we'll see, you know, what happens there. So that's the slate of yesterday's games. One game is about to be underway, so we got 4 on the slate today. Let's go ahead and go over some of those. Hopefully get us some Blazers and even some NFL, you know, before we get out of here. But stick around. Second hour, Sports Sunday, next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.